From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Today, he concludes an overview of the Epistle to Philemon. As a prisoner in Rome, Paul continued his ministry of preaching the gospel to everyone he met. The slave Onesimus had fled to Rome from Colossae, where he had stolen from his master Philemon, one of Paul's converts. Having led Onesimus to saving faith in Christ, Paul sends him back to his master. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns is drawing lessons from the lives of each of the principal characters in the epistle. First, we saw God's grace in saving Onesimus. Paul testified of the Lord's mercy in his own life, emphasizing that he sought to treat others as Christ had treated him. Then we learned of God's grace to Philemon, demonstrated in Paul's confidence that he would receive Onesimus not as a runaway slave, but as a brother in Christ. In this final portion of the message, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that it is the power of grace in the lives of individual church members that will lead to the transformation of society. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message called Pictures of Triumphant Grace. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled A Mountain Choir. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. So sweet are the comforts of the Lord, that not only the saints themselves may sing of them, but even the heavens and the earth may take up the song. It takes something to make a mountain sing, and yet the prophet summons quite a choir of them, Lebanon and Syrian, and the high hills of Bashan and Moab. He would set them all singing because of Jehovah's grace to his own Zion. May we not also make mountains of difficulty and trial, in mystery and labor, become occasions for praise unto our God? Break forth into singing, O mountains! This word of promise that our God will have mercy upon his afflicted has a whole peal of bells connected with it. Hear their music. Sing. Be joyful. Break forth into singing. The Lord would have his people happy because of his unfailing love. He would not have us sad and doubtful. He claims from us the worship of believing hearts. He cannot fail us. Why should we sigh or sulk as if he would do so? Oh, for a well-tuned harp! Oh, for voices like those of the cherubim before the throne!
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you've written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we thank you for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email or by regular mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Enabled Philemon to live above the demands of the flesh. You see, Philemon was not one bit different from you and me. Just see Onesimus returning. What's your first reaction? There's that rascal, let me get my hands on him. Right? I heard a preacher say, if I could work miracles, what I would do. If I could work miracles when I wanted. This particular preacher was a black man, so he said, what do you think I would say to Mr. Ku Klux Klan? Do you think I would do a miracle to make him better? I would say, die. So, we know what kind of a man he is. His skin was a different color than Mr. KKK, but his heart was exactly the same. Then he said about a person who would drive out in front of him at an intersection. If I had a miracle power, I would just suspend him in the air and I'd leave him there to rot for a while. The man's an idiot, of course. But he's showing his heart. He's showing his heart. And Philemon, really, was just human. And when he would see this man, Onesimus, come, and the flesh would get up and the flesh would say, this is what I'm going to do. Just as in your heart, the same thing happens. In your home, the same thing happens. The flesh gets up. That's the trouble. When homes get into trouble, it's not because there's a lack of power in the gospel. It's because men and women who name the name of Jesus Christ are living by the flesh and not by the faith. It's the same in a church. When a church divides itself, it's because Christians are living by the flesh and not by the faith. this man was being asked. And I believe he definitely did obey with joy to live above the flesh. Then he was asked to do something that's maybe even more difficult. And that is to live above the demands of his, quote, rights. He could turn to the page of Roman law, which said Onesimus had no right to freedom. In fact, if Philemon spared his life, Onesimus should stand grateful to him for the rest of his days. He could turn to the very page of Roman law and say, there is the law. That is my civil right. Paul says, away with your civil right and start living by faith. It's one of the hardest things for people to get beyond what carnal men have defined as their rights. Rights? Well, that's one of the buzzwords of the 20th century. I don't know who it was said it first. It's been said, I suppose, a million times since, but there's so much emphasis today on rights that nobody seems to be at all interested in duty. Ah, my right for this, my right for that, my right for the other thing. Look, if we're going to go through our life, and I'm not saying that there are no rights that are worth standing up for, there are, and they're clearly defined in the Word of God, and they're clearly set forth in Scripture. Let's stand where the Bible stands. But out of personal gain and personal greed, when we simply stand up for our rights, no matter what the cost, no matter what the hurt to others, no matter what's involved, when we start to do that, we start denying the gospel. Philemon knew the triumph of grace because he lived above even the demands of his rights, and he glorified God. Listen, this is the heart of it all. He glorified God by a godliness that was incomprehensible to the world around him. That's always the mark of the man who's walking in fellowship with the Lord. The godliness of a Christian will be incomprehensible to the world around him. The triumph of grace. Can I finish very quickly by saying that we must move from the lives of the individuals, Onesimus, Paul, and Philemon, to see the triumph of grace in the life of the church. You see, the church met in Philemon's house. The man who's probably his son was the pastor. Philemon was a leading member. There were other slave-holding masters probably in the church. But if not, there were certainly other master slaves in the church. Colossians 3:22 makes it clear the church had slaves in its membership. But do you see what that says immediately? The church also received slaves. It saw them as precious souls, and it gave them a full membership in the church of Jesus Christ. That was one place, no matter what society dictated, that was one place where there were no second-class citizens, or no citizens and non-citizens. They worshipped together as equals before God. That was already happening in the church in Colossae. They saw their fellowship as being in Christ, and they saw it as not fragmented by the divisions of contemporary society. I would like to have all day to follow half, well, there'd be a lot more than half the trouble in churches is the garbage that people bring from outside to the inside and they transplant the nonsense of the world inside the church in a multitude of areas of life. We bring the pressures, we bring the mores, we bring the desires of the world into the church. The divisions that are caused by contemporary society, we allow to fragment what should be the unbreakable fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ. I want you to see this picture. There's a free man. And in Roman law, to be a free man, to be a citizen, meant as much, and indeed, because of the contrast of the law's dealings with non-citizens, it meant far more. I mean, let me give you an example. Here in the United States, most of you are citizens. I am not a citizen of the United States. I'm a citizen of the United Kingdom. Don't ask me the reasons why. I'll tell you that some other day. But really, except for small areas that do not affect the vast majority of people, the law treats you no differently than it treats me. Now you can vote. If that's a big joy to you, the Lord bless you. I have not lost any sleep over the idea that I have no responsibility whatsoever for what's going to be going on in the White House in the next few years. So, you can vote. But you get the same speeding tickets as I don't. I want you to get that part. You're amenable to the same standard of law. You have the same standards under the law of punishment as I would. That wasn't so in Roman times. To be a citizen gave you the full protection of the law. To be anything else, you could be whipped and tortured. And that was how you were examined to make confession before they put you to death. Yet you see there in the church of Colossae, there's a free man. And there's a slave. There's a man with money, with position, with everything that the world counts dear. And there's a man whom the law says is nothing, is worth nothing, and has nothing. He's no more worthwhile than a flea or a dog. And yet they sit together. They drink the same cup of communion. They celebrate the same glorious love and grace of God in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, my friend, that's one of the most powerful pictures in the whole New Testament. And I want to tell you, that's the picture that changed the big picture of the whole world. Because the church was under the law, and yet it lived above the law. The result of that was that the grace of God in the lives of Christians like these ultimately changed the entire land and the entire law. Now, the early church did not, and this some people find difficult to understand. The early church did not set out to address the social evils of the day as a primary target. They did not have the legal frameworks that we have nowadays. So they had no protests. They didn't write letters to their senators. They didn't make changing the society a primary target, at least changing it by legal means. If they had done that, the church would immediately have become a mere political and social pressure group, and it would have been dispensed with as such. But rather, the early Christians had confidence in the power of the gospel to transform lives in such numbers as to change the entire fabric of society. And you know, let me tell you something. When you're seeing 3,000 people saved in a day, and 5,000 people saved in another day, and when you can go into a town and in one day see enough people saved to see a church started, and when that church in a very short time is seeing other churches started, so that from becoming a very small group of people, you are spreading, proliferating at a tremendous rate across the entire known world, you can have confidence what we are doing. While it's not a political pressure group, while it's not a societal group for change, it is nonetheless powerful in the hand of God. And if we keep at preaching the gospel in the power of the Holy Ghost, we will see changes that nobody else could affect. That's the confidence they had. And I want to tell you, their confidence was not misplaced. Because it was not through political groups, was not through the philosophers, was through the preachers of the gospel that the entire Roman Empire was changed, and ultimately that the whole system of its slavery fell to the ground. I trust we'll get that lesson. There are things that we can do because, as I've said, we have a different legal and constitutional framework within which to work. And if you can write your senator, and if you can put enough pressure on him because he's afraid of losing your vote to do right, then let him do right rather than wrong. But let us never forget that the church's power to transform society depends directly on the experience of the church's experience of the grace of God in each of its members. Look, if we don't have enough grace to transform our lives and our homes and our church meetings, how, in the name of all that's honest, can we pretend that we have power to change the world? The power to change society depends on the power of grace experienced to change ourselves. This is the lesson they had. That's the triumph of grace in the life of the church in Colossae. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Wonderful indeed. Triumphant grace to save sinners, to set the servants of God on fire, whatever their circumstances, and to give the church the power to be God's salt in society, to change what is otherwise unchangeable. The power of triumphant grace. May God give us this power and this experience as we seek to serve him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, We invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.